Hello, my name is Bill Coghlan, and welcome to First Person Civil War Podcast, which retells the stories of the soldiers and officers on the ground in the battles of the Civil War. Episode 19 is entitled, Second Lieutenant John G.B. Adams and the 19th Massachusetts at the Battle of Fredericksburg, and relies on his book, Reminiscences of the 19th Massachusetts Regiment, which he published in 1899. John Gregory Bishop Adams lived in Groveville, Massachusetts at the beginning of the war. On 18 April 1861, 6 days after the firing on Fort Sumter, along with his brother and a friend, decided to enlist in the local militia, the Hale Guards, but was turned away as their ranks were full. Unfazed, all three walked to the neighboring town of West Newbury to enlist in Company A of the 1st Battalion of Rifles, formed several years prior by Major Poor. They unofficially called themselves Poor's Savages. Though accepted into the battalion, the unit as a whole did not receive orders to march to a camp for some time. However long this amount of time was, John G.B. Adams did not say, but it was long enough for the local townspeople to look upon them in disgust for not being enlisted. On top of that, men began to leave to enlist in other regiments that were forming in the area. The 1st Battalion of Rifles finally appealed to the governor and received proper orders. John G.B. Adams officially enlisted as a corporal in Company A, 19th Massachusetts, on 26 July, 1861. The 19th Massachusetts marched for the seat of war on 27 August, 1861, and arrived in Washington, D.C., to be incorporated into the Army of the Potomac. The regiment saw service during the Peninsula Campaign and Antietam. By the Battle of Fredericksburg, their 3rd Brigade was commanded by Colonel Norman J. Hall, and Major General Oliver O. Howard's 2nd Division, of Major General Darius N. Couch's 2nd Corps, of the recently formed Wright Grand Division, commanded by Major General Edwin V. Sumner. As part of a planned advance against the Army of Northern Virginia, now 2nd Lieutenant Adams in Company I of the 19th Massachusetts camped at Falmouth, Virginia, just across the Rappahannock River from Fredericksburg by mid-November 1862. The plan was for the Army to quickly cross the river and continue marching, but the pontoon bridges required to cross would not arrive until early December. Though unoccupied upon their arrival, the Confederates were now in possession of Fredericksburg, which meant the crossing of the river would be contested. The engineers tasked with constructing the pontoon bridges could not complete their task with an unsecured far shore. The 3rd Brigade was tasked with making this crossing and securing the ground. 2nd Lieutenant Adams and the 19th Massachusetts, alongside the 7th Michigan, volunteered to make the crossing. Our batteries were posted on the hills in the rear of our line and were vigorously shelling the city, but the rebel sharpshooters were posted in cellars and rifle pits on the other side and would pick off the engineers as fast as they showed themselves at work. We took the pontoon boats from the wagons, carried them to the river, and as soon as they touched the water, filled them with men. Two or three boats started at the same time, and the sharpshooters opened a terrible fire. Men fell in the water and in the boats. Yet we pressed on, and at last landed on the other side. Both regiments crossed the Rappahannock under fire and began to fan out into the city of Fredericksburg. 2nd Lieutenant Adams and the 19th Massachusetts soon engaged the Confederates street by street. As soon as the boats touched the shore, we formed by companies, and, without waiting for regimental formation, charged up the street. On reaching the main street, we found that the fire came from houses in front and rear. He describes the number of casualties the company sustained and then continues. We were forced to fall back to the river, deploy as skirmishers, and reached the main street through the yards and houses. As we fell back, we left one of our men in the street, Redding of Company D, and when we again reached the street, we found him dead, the rebels having bayoneted him in several places. The Confederates that contested the crossing belonged to the 17th Mississippi, commanded by Lieutenant Colonel John C. Fizer. About 5 a.m., I ordered my men to fire on the bridge builders, which they obeyed promptly and deliberately. They made 9 desperate attempts to finish their bridges, but were severely punished and promptly repulsed at every attempt. And now he describes the crossing. They used their artillery incessantly, with a heavy detachment of sharpshooters for 12 hours. We holding our position firmly the whole time until about 4:30 p.m., when they increased their artillery and infantry, and their batteries becoming so numerous and concentrated, we could not use our rifles. Being deprived of all protection, we were compelled to fall back to Caroline Street, and from there were ordered from town. In crossing the Rappahannock and advancing into the city of Fredericksburg, the 19th Massachusetts and the 7th Michigan had just completed the first opposed river crossing and advanced into the first instance of urban warfare in the Civil War. Second Lieutenant Adams continued to secure the city with his men. My squad was composed of men from Companies I and A. We reached a gate and were doing our best to cross the street. I had lost 3 men when Captain Weymouth, who was the acting regimental commander, came up. "Can't you go forward, Lieutenant Adams?" he said. My reply was, "It is mighty hot, Captain." He said, "I guess you can," and started to go through the gate, when as much as a barrel of bullets came at him. He turned and said, "It is quite warm, Lieutenant. Go up through the house." We then entered the back door and passed upstairs to the front. Gilman Nichols of Company A was in advance. He found the door locked and burst it open with the butt of his musket. The moment it opened, he fell dead, shot from a house on the other side of the street. Several others were wounded, but we held this house until dark, firing at a head whenever we saw one on the other side. As the 17th Mississippi departed, the 13th Mississippi, commanded by Colonel John W. Carter, replaced them, and immediately engaged 2nd Lieutenant Adams and the 19th Massachusetts. About 4 p.m., Lieutenant Colonel Fizer sent me for 2 companies, which I was proceeding with when I met him retiring with his command to the market house, being unable to hold his position longer. I immediately formed my regiment and withdrew it to the market house, when I was ordered to form in the next street, toward the river, and engage the enemy. I immediately disposed of my regiment on the street which I then occupied, Princess Anne, so as to command as many streets running at right angles with the river as I possibly could, and engage the enemy at once. The city was eventually cleared of a Confederate presence, but they occupied the heights southwest of the town. 2nd Lieutenant Adams and the 19th Massachusetts remained in the city during the 12th, but on 13 December 1862, they formed as part of the assault upon the Confederate positions. Just as a note to the listener, I am including 2nd Lieutenant Adams' descriptions of the wounded on their advance toward Mary's Heights, as it directly pertains to this story. A rebel battery on our right had a raking fire on us, but we must go forward. The two color bearers, Sergeant Creasy and Sergeant Rappel, were the first to fall. But the colors did not touch the ground before they were up and going forward. Captain Mahoney took command of the regiment, and he was also seen to fall, shot in the arm and the side. Down went the color bearer again. Lieutenant Newcomb grasped one, a color corporal another. Newcomb fell, shot through both legs. As he went down, he handed the color to me. Next fell the color corporal, and the flag he held was grasped by Sergeant Merrill, who was soon wounded. Another seized the color, but he was shot immediately. And as it fell from his hands, the officer who already had won caught it. Second Lieutenant Adams now carried both regimental colors, and the 19th Massachusetts proceeded to a location that provided a form of cover. He continues. Looking back over the field, we saw the ground covered with our dead and wounded. Late in the evening, we withdrew to the city, where we remained the next day. He then talks about recrossing the river. About half of those who went over never marched back. In the Battle of the 13th, out of less than 300 men, we lost, in killed and wounded, 104. Of the 11 men who carried the colors that day, 8 were killed. I do not believe we killed 5 of the enemy, if we did 1. We found them strongly entrenched, charged upon them, and they mowed us down. Even writing decades later, it's not hard to notice how much of a toll the Battle of Fredericksburg had on Second Lieutenant Adams and countless others. Sad and weary, we marched back to our old camp. We had become accustomed to defeat. We knew that no braver army stood upon the earth than the Army of the Potomac. But fate had been against us from the start. We saw our numbers growing less, and no real victory to reward us for the sacrifice. For carrying both regimental colors during the assault on Mary's Heights, Second Lieutenant John Gregory Bishop Adams was awarded the Medal of Honor on 16 December 1896. His citation reads, "Seized the two colors from the hands of a corporal and a lieutenant as they fell mortally wounded, and with a color in each hand, advanced across the field where the regiment was reformed on those colors." He was 21 years old. John G.B. Adams brings up the Medal of Honor in his book, and remains humble after receiving the award. "I do not mention this fact to show that I was braver than any other man, for every man of the old regiment on the field would have done the same had opportunity offered." John G.B. Adams continued his service in the 19th Massachusetts after the Battle of Fredericksburg. He was wounded at Gettysburg, and on 22 June 1864, now a captain, was captured in the fighting at Petersburg, along with many other men from the 19th Massachusetts. Captain Adams traveled by train to Georgia, where he was held in Camp Oglethorpe, a prisoner of war camp in Macon, while others of the regiment went on to Andersonville. As Sherman's army marched through Georgia, Captain Adams was transferred out of the state, and eventually to Charleston and Columbia, South Carolina. At Columbia, Captain Adams and a fellow prisoner of war made an escape and came close to Sherman's army before being captured yet again. Captain Adams was transferred by train through North Carolina to Rocky Point, located just north of Wilmington. On 1 March 1865, he was exchanged. "As soon as we passed the rebel lines, we ran down the road, cheering and singing. We marched about a mile to the northeast bridge on the Cape Fear River, and on the other side saw an arch covered with the stars and stripes. In the center of the arch surrounded by a wreath of evergreen, were the words, "Welcome, brothers. I have no idea what the joy will be when I pass through the pearly gates and march up the golden streets of New Jerusalem. But if it is half as great as it was the morning of March 1, 1865, when for the first time for nearly 9 months I saw the old flag, I shall be satisfied." John Gregory Bishop Adams published his book, Reminiscences of the 19th Massachusetts Regiment, in 1899, but did not expect himself to be the one to tell the story of his regiment. "For 34 years, I have waited patiently for someone to write a history of the 19th Regiment, Massachusetts Volunteers. But fearing that it may never be accomplished, I have concluded to send out this story. I do not dignify it by calling it a history. It is simply a soldier's story told by one of the boys." Thank you for listening to the 19th episode. The link to Second Lieutenant Adams's book is now available on the podcast website, firstpersoncivilwarpodcast.com. On Facebook, Instagram, X, and LinkedIn this week, you will find pictures of John G.B. Adams as a private in 1861, as a captain in 1865, and the colors of the 19th Massachusetts, date unknown. Throughout the week, expect pictures that pertain to the next episode. Pictures such as a drawing of the 19th Massachusetts and the 7th Michigan crossing the Rappahannock River into Fredericksburg, an envelope with a drawing of a soldier from the 19th Massachusetts, and what looks like a separate stand of the 19th Massachusetts colors can be found on the podcast social media accounts. Be sure to follow to see the latest pictures. Private John B. Ernell of Company I, 1st North Carolina Artillery, provides next week's first-person account at Point Lookout, Prisoner of War Camp. My name is Bill Coghlan, and thank you for listening to First Person Civil War Podcast.